sorry. You and Brody have a fight? Brody had apparently not filled Graham's in on the last few years. I wasn't sure why or what that meant, but I went along with it. No, we're good. I took Grandma's hand and squeezed. Good. That boy is a keeper. They don't make 'em like him too often anymore. Reminds me of my Carl in some ways. Really? It was the first time Grams had spoken of Pop-Pop. I had no idea if she remembered he was gone or not. Her memory was so random and selective. Yep, that boy is loyal. He fell hard for you and never got back up. Same way my Carl did for me. She was right about one thing. Brody was loyal. Probably the most loyal person I'd ever come across in my entire life. But even the most loyal person had their breaking point. Seeing him on the street today reminded me of that. I hadn't expected him to be waiting around for me all these years. Not after everything I'd done to him. But what I saw today had been hard to see anyway. He'd looked happy. Holding a woman's hand in public. I should have been happy for him. But what I should do, and what I actually did, had never been the same. I spent another 2 hours with Grams. She enjoyed the company, and, honestly, I loved being around her. She was my root, made me feel grounded when I otherwise would spin out of control. After the Price is Right ended, I stopped in the ladies' room in the hallway and cleaned up, knowing I'd have to head straight to work or risk being late. I pulled my hair back into a ponytail and brushed on a little mascara and lip gloss. When I returned to Graham's room to say goodbye, a man was sitting in the chair next to her. He looked familiar, but I couldn't place why at first. Hello? The man stood and nodded.
I was just doing my daily visit with Marlene. I didn't realize she had company.
My jacket was draped over another chair, so I lifted it and began to pull it on. Stay, please. I was just about to leave. I have to get to work anyway. I smiled. I'm Willow, Marlene's granddaughter.
I didn't realize Marlene had a granddaughter. It's nice to meet you, Willow. I'm Grouper. Your grandmother likes to whip me at checkers a few times a week.
Ah, yes, Game Shark. She looks innocent, but she's a closet swindler.
Grouper looked to Marlene and shook his head. You sound just like Brody.
You know Brody?
Of course. Comes here every week like clockwork. Good man. Just don't ever let him know I said that. He winked.
Does he ever bring his girlfriend?
Girlfriend? Oh, you mean the reporter? No, he comes alone. Tuesdays. Usually about 10.
I walked over to Graham's and gave her a hug. Her shoulders were so much thinner than I remembered. My larger-than-life grandmother felt tiny, almost fragile. I have to get going to work, or I'll be late.
Okay, dear. Will you come back with Brody?
You know what? I will. I'll be back on Tuesday. It was nice to meet you, Mr. Grouper.
Nope, no mister. Just Grouper. Like the fish.
Oh, okay. Well, it was nice to meet you, Grouper, and thank you for visiting with Grams.
My pleasure. Let's hope the Steel win this Sunday, so we get a happy Brody here on Tuesday.
I smiled, refraining from saying what I was thinking. I wouldn't count on Brody being happy on Tuesday, even if he wins. Monday was my only day off. Restaurant hours were hard on keeping up with any TV programs, so I had stopped bothering recording most things a long time ago. On the rare occasion that I remembered to set up something to record, it was even rarer that I actually watched whatever it was that I'd recorded. Except today. I sat on the edge of the couch during the last 2 minutes of the Steel versus Eagles game as Brody and the offensive line moved down the field. They were down by 6 and sitting on the 30-yard line on 4th down. Mindlessly, I tapped my foot on the floor as Brody drew back, and the ball went sailing in the air. Come on, Brody. Come on. I held my breath until the spiraling ball fell into the wide receiver's hands. Being on edge, anxious for the win as Brody stood on the field, reminded me of sitting on the old metal bleachers in high school so many years ago. My best friend, Anna, used to steady my leg. Quit playing the snare drum with your foot. You're shaking the whole bleacher. God, those days really were a lifetime ago. After the game, I decided to make cupcakes. I used to love to bake, although it had been a really long time since I'd had anyone to bake for. My apartment was small, with a galley kitchen that was tinier than most closets and a crappy stove, so baking wasn't something I'd thought to do since I moved in. But today I made Graham and Brody's favorite. The same red velvet cake with cream cheese frosting that I used to bake after Brody won a game back in high school. On my way to my afternoon appointment with Dr. Kaplan, I knocked on my neighbor's door across the hall, 2 cupcakes in hand, waiting as I listened for the triple set of locks to clank open. I looked around the dim 3rd floor of my building. This place was really seedy, and that was saying something coming from the places I'd spent time in over the years. But New York City was expensive, and it was the only place I was able to afford at the moment. Eventually, the door cracked open a tiny bit, the flimsy top lock chain still securely attached. I kneeled down to the little girl's eye level. Hi, Abby. I made cupcakes. I thought maybe you and your mom would like some. She nodded quickly with wide eyes. The door shut and then reopened without the chain. Abby reached for the plate. Shit, I know that look. Is your mom home? The poor little thing was starving. She didn't even bother to lick the icing off the top or taste it before shoveling half the cupcake into her mouth with one bite. Abby nodded her head while chewing. She was probably 5 or 6, but she was tiny for even that. I'd gotten to know her and her mom over the last few months. Her mom was in recovery, like me. But I had a bad feeling that something might have changed over the weekend. The 2 guys I'd seen coming out of their place definitely screamed that the wagon had tipped, and Mom had fallen off. I didn't want to scare Abby by prying too hard. How about Mom? Can I give her the other cupcake? She's sleeping. It was 4 in the afternoon. Is anyone else home? Abby shook her head. Can I come inside for a second, Abby? She nodded. Who else would this sweet little thing let in? I walked through their apartment and found Lena sprawled across her bed. I checked that she was breathing. A few beer cans were littered around the sparse room, but there were no signs of drug paraphernalia, at least. Lena? She groaned in response and rolled over. By the time I returned to the kitchen, Abby was already halfway through cupcake number 2. Curiosity had me opening the refrigerator. Damn, it was emptier than mine. Way emptier. An expired carton of milk, some ketchup, a jar of pickles, with only the juice left, and a Tupperware with something moldy inside. The kitchen cabinets didn't fare much better. I'll be right back, okay? Lock the door. Wait for me to knock. Abby spoke with her mouth full. Okay. My apartment wasn't exactly stocked with a gourmet feast, but I could make sure Abby had a full belly. I made a quick peanut butter and jelly sandwich and grabbed the half-empty carton of milk from my refrigerator before going back. Have you ever tried peanut butter? The last thing she or her mother needed was for me to load Abby full of something that she was allergic to.
I used to bring it to school for lunch sometimes, but I have to sit at a different table from Danny Mendez. He's allergic.
That made me feel better. I poured a glass of milk and watched her eat before leaving. By the time I arrived at Dr. Kaplan's office, it was 4:05. She looked at her watch.
You're late today.
I plopped down in my usual spot. Sorry, I had to take care of something. She took a notebook, stood from behind her desk, and moved to her usual chair across from me. Flipping to a new page, she wrote the date down before setting the notebook on her lap and giving me her full attention.
So,
what did you have to take care of? I'm not using again, if that's what you're asking.
I didn't say that you were.
No, but I felt it in your tone.
It was just a simple question, Willow.
Let's not get started on the wrong foot today. Maybe I had jumped to a conclusion she wasn't hinting at.
I had to make my neighbor a sandwich.
Oh. Is she sick?
No. She's 5 years old.
Her mother was sleeping, and I stopped over with cupcakes and realized she was starving.
Her mother was sleeping in the middle of the day?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm hoping for Abby's sake I'm wrong. Her mother has been clean for 4 months.
Dr. Kaplan nodded and wrote something in her book.
What could you possibly have written down? That I made a kid a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Actually, I noted you befriended a little girl who has a similar home life to yours growing up.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way. So,
how was your week? Did you visit Marlene?
I did.
And how is that going?
Good. Her disease sort of lets me pick up life with her at various spots. She doesn't seem to realize how long I was gone or remember all of the terrible things I've done to her.
More nodding. And work?
It's good. My feet are killing me. But the money is good. I'm hoping to save up enough to move to a better neighborhood eventually. I'd like to be closer to my grandmother. It takes more than 45 minutes on a good day to get to her from uptown.
Have you been out socially?
No. But that cute guy in the suit asked me out the other day.
At the restaurant? The one who asked you out a few weeks ago?
He came in with some friends again.
And did you agree to go out with him?
No.
Why not? You said yourself that you thought he was handsome and seemed like a nice guy.
I'm not ready yet.
Because of Brody?
How am I supposed to start dating when I still love another man?
People do it all the time. You need to move on, Willow.
I know. I'm just not ready.
When will you be ready?
I shrugged. I don't know. I'm seeing him tomorrow, though.
You are?
Dr. Kaplan sounded surprised. Don't get excited. He doesn't know yet.
Her forehead creased.
He visits Marlene every Tuesday. I've been avoiding going on that day so I wouldn't see him.
But now you're going?
Yes.
What changed?
I'm not sure.
That was a lie. Dr. Kaplan already knew all about my past, but I was embarrassed to admit how selfish I continued to be. Seeing Brody with his girlfriend had changed things.
I needed to see for myself that there was no hope for us, or I'd never be able to move on.
Brody, Chapter 24. Salmon? I nodded. Grouper had set up yellow caution cones barricading the section of the floor he was mopping in the main lobby. Snatching two of them, I jogged down the hall and set them 4 feet apart. No touchdown pass, then the ball goes to my favorite nurse, Shannon. I winked at Shannon, who shook her head while smiling. Shannon wears scrubs with little football players on them on Sundays. Did you wear those this Sunday, Shannon? She chuckled.
Sure did. Had my matching dangling football earrings on, too.
See that? I'm thinking I shouldn't even give you the chance to win this ball, old man. You got football earrings? Just throw the ball already, damn it. Grouper dropped the mop and jogged toward the cones. For half a second, I considered pitching the ball over his head so he'd miss. Then I remembered he'd probably spent Sunday playing checkers with Marlene while he rooted for my obnoxious ass. So I lobbed the ball for an easy catch instead. I still got it, he fist-pumped as he walked back. Yeah, you got it all right. Hemorrhoids, arthritis. Don't remind me. Got those, too. Your day will come, and I can't wait to see that pretty boy face get some good age spots on it. I chuckled. Marlene in her room or the day room? I think she's in her suite. Pretty little granddaughter of hers is keeping her company again this morning. I'm not going to have to referee anything in there, am I? Between the win on Sunday that moved us into first place and spending Monday night inside of Delilah celebrating, I'd thought nothing could ruin my mood. Fuck if I hadn't been wrong. I contemplated turning around and leaving, but it was Tuesday, the day I'd been spending here for years. Years when she hadn't even give a shit whether her grandmother was alive. I was done letting her interfere with my life anymore. At least this time I was prepared to see her. Or at least, I thought I was. Willow turned around when the door opened and my heart stopped beating. I hated her so much. I hated her so damn much. Yet when my heart started beating again, I couldn't stop it from racing.
Hi.
She smiled hesitantly, and those big eyes looked up from under long lashes. I hate you. I also hated that she was still as beautiful as ever. I lifted my chin in her direction as my only response and walked over to Marlene. How's my favorite lady today? I kissed her on the forehead.
Brody, you're just in time. Get a pad and paper.
I furrowed my brow.
Wheel of Fortune is about to start,
Willow explained.
Remember how the three of us used to...
I looked her right in those big eyes. I know when her shows are on, and we're not doing this. Her bright face faltered. It should have made me feel better, but instead, it did the opposite.
You don't want to play?
Marlene asked. I'm going to sit this one out. Marlene looked disappointed, but the moment Pat Sajak came on TV, her face lit back up. If only we all had something that made everything okay, even if only for a few minutes. I stole a fleeting glance at Willow. She used to be my Pat Sajak. When the first puzzle came on TV, the two of them fell right back into a time warp. Back in the day, the three of us would sit on the long plastic-covered couch in Marlene's living room. We'd write down our letter picks before the contestants called out theirs and keep track of how much we'd win if they guessed our letter. What Marlene didn't know was that Willow and I had secretly played for sexual favors. Whoever earned the most at the end of the show got whatever they were in the mood for that night. Most nights, I let Willow win, just so I could hear her tell me what she wanted me to do to her. The visuals came flooding back. Willow, at 16, looking up at me as I hovered over her, her lips swollen from hours of kissing. I hate you. Her sitting up, her hair a wild mess as she pulled off a white t-shirt. No bra underneath, my thumb tugging on her bottom lip, which she sucked between her teeth nervously. I hate you. At the sound of my chair abruptly skidding across the tile floor, Willow jumped. Bathroom, was all I offered. Refusing to concede my time with Marlene out of principle, I stayed for a while more, quietly sitting and trying to avoid any real interaction with Willow. When it was time for lunch, I helped Marlene into her wheelchair and brought her down to the dining room. I have to get going. Practice this afternoon.
You two work too much.
Marlene's usual lunch table was waiting for her. I made sure she was comfortable and said my goodbyes before heading back to her suite to grab my jacket. I heard the door creak open, but I didn't turn around as I slipped on my coat.
I made cupcakes, Willow said softly. Red velvet with cream cheese frosting.
I stared out the window. Not hungry. She took two steps toward me and stopped. I could see her reflection in the window.
Do you want me to avoid certain days?
Do whatever you want. Makes no difference to me. She nodded.
I saw the game yesterday. You know, you still do the same little celebration in the end zone that you did in ninth grade on the field at Kennedy High School.
I hated that she thought she knew so much about me. I hated her. She didn't know anything about me anymore. I made sure she knew it before I walked out the door. I celebrated inside my girlfriend last night, not in the end zone.
Delilah. Chapter 25. The only time I didn't mind my boss popping into my office was when Indy was around. Mostly because Mr. Cum literally tripped over things when he came near her. Today, it was the garbage can just outside of my door. Indy had spotted him coming down the hall and leaned over my desk like a barfly trying to attract attention in a pool hall full of horny cowboys. Her already tight skirt looked ready to bust at the seams as she wiggled her ass suggestively.
"Nice to see you, Charlie."
She stayed bent over my desk and looked back over her shoulder to speak to him. No one called Charles Ulysses Macy Charlie, except Indy.
"Indy?" He cleared his throat. "You're looking well?"
She smirked.
"You're looking at my good angle."
I interrupted before he could respond. "What can I do for you, Mr. Macy?"
"Yes, we need you to cut a 60-second spot for the playoffs."
"Really?"
The 60-second spots were always done by the big-name reporters and well-known faces.
"We need the female draw, so we're making the spots two reporters. One of each will be a woman."
"So you're basically using her for her body?"
Indy stood and folded her arms over her chest.
"No. We..."
"Relax, Chuck."
She rested a hand on his arm.
"I was just a little jealous. No one has used my body in a while."
Poor Charles had to adjust the growing bulge Indy was inciting. I actually came to the pig's rescue.
"I'm happy to have the opportunity."
"Good. You'll drive down with Michael after the game on Sunday. Do a spot with Mara in Miami on Monday."
"Michael?"
"Langley. That's who you're shooting your spots with."
It took me 10 more minutes to get Mr. Cum out of my office. When he was gone, I scolded Indy.
"Why do you insist on doing that?"
She tossed a pen up in the air and caught it.
"I mentally give myself 2 points for making him hard. It's a little game I play."
"Gross."
"I know. Do you think he's jerking off in the men's room? I get 5 points if he comes out and there's a little wet spot on his pants from post-ejaculation drip."
"Seriously? You might be more disgusting than him."
"Serves him right. He deserves to be treated like meat, since that's how he treats others."
"But he likes it."
"He likes it while I'm playing with him, not while he's stuck playing with himself."
I caught the pen she was continually tossing in the air. "I have to be away an extra day now. Thought I only needed one on-air outfit. I need to get to the dry cleaners before they close, which means I'm out for yoga tonight."
"No yoga!"
she pouted. I began packing up my desk for the day. "Nope. I'll just have to work out with Brody tonight," I teased.
"Rough life. You're going to get laid by your gorgeous quarterback boyfriend tonight, then fly off for a romantic night away with Michael Langley."
"It won't be romantic."
"The way that man looks at you, my guess is it won't be from lack of him trying."
Brody and I had dinner plans at his hotel tonight. I texted him that I was going to be late, but by the time I finished running my errands for the trip tomorrow, I was even later than I had planned. When I arrived at the Regency, Brody was sitting at the bar inside Silver Ivy. Cicely, the batting eyelash waitress, was sitting across from him at the table, wearing her uniform. Hi. Neither of them had noticed me walk up. Hearing my voice, Brody swung in my direction, knocking a glass clear across the table as he turned. It fell to the floor and shattered. All eyes in the bar took notice.
There she is, he said loudly.
When I came within his reach, he wrapped one arm around my waist and tugged me toward him. A busboy immediately ran over and began to clean up the mess.
Our guys had a little too much to drink, Cicely said.
Our guy? He had a bad day, she continued. Her high and mighty tone was irritating, and I fought the urge to put her in her place. Instead, I spoke to Brody. Hey, you okay? He was definitely drunk. In his attempt to open his eyes wider, he actually tilted his head back, as if tipping his head back might help the lid snap open. He smiled and snuggled into me, head first into my chest, of course.
I'm great. Now that you're here.
Did you eat anything?
Nope. I was waiting for you.
Sorry. I didn't think I'd be this late.
That's okay. Cicely kept me company.
I bet she did. Once the busboy had cleaned up the mess, Cicely was back with a tumbler filled with a clear liquid. I hope that's water. I brought him a fresh drink. I don't think he needs it.
Sure I do.
Cicely looked at me with a patronizing I-told-you-so face.
It's Tuesday.
I'm well aware of that. It's the only day he allows himself to have a few drinks.
Yes.
But from the looks of things, I think we've skipped past a few and landed on overserved.
He had a bad day.
You know what? I think we're going to get something to eat in the restaurant instead of eating in the bar. As I led Brody to the hostess station, the extent of his drunkenness became that much more apparent. His arm dangled around my shoulders, and he was actually leaning on me a little. How about if we skip the restaurant and order room service? I said.
How about if we skip room service and I eat you?
Even a perv when you're drunk, I see. I chuckled. Upstairs in Brody's suite, I ordered a light dinner for two. Although I wasn't too sure that Brody would be awake by the time the food came. He was fumbling with the buttons on his shirt, so I helped him undress while he sat on the bed.
While you're down there,
Brody snickered when I kneeled down to untie his shoes. I think you might be too inebriated for even that. I slipped off his second shoe and rested my hands on his knees. Brody slid my hand from his knee to between his legs, cupping my fingers around his hard-on.
I could see right down your shirt while you untied my shoes. I'm not so drunk that I couldn't take 'em off. I just like the view.
I laughed. Why don't you shower before dinner comes? Might sober you up a bit more.
Are you taking one with me?
Not this time.
All right. But I'm not taking care of myself while I'm in there. I'm saving that for you when I'm out.
I would expect nothing less. The food I ordered arrived just before Brody finished in the bathroom. He came out wearing a towel wrapped around his waist, just like the first time I met him. 2 months ago, I would never have guessed that all of Brody Easton's cocky arrogance only camouflaged his insecurities. Turns out, we weren't so different after all. For the last 7 years since Drew died, everyone had been telling me that I was avoiding real relationships because I was afraid to get hurt again. I didn't see it until I saw my own actions reflected back at me from Brody. We might have had different methods, but we were doing the same thing, protecting our hearts from loss again. You couldn't get hurt if you didn't let anyone in. I set up our dinners at the dining room table. Were you just bored waiting for me? Or did you really have a bad day? Maybe a little of both. He scrubbed his hands over his face and sat at the table. Did you have a bad practice day? Not too bad. He lifted the silver cover off his dinner and looked at the Caesar salad I'd ordered him. Tomorrow is going to suck with the hangover I'm already starting to feel coming on. You don't usually have more than one or two. Is everything okay? Brody rubbed the back of his neck. Marlene had a visitor when I went to see her this morning. I suddenly lost my appetite. Oh? Willow. She thinks she can just walk back into our life and everything is going to be okay. Something about the phrase, walk back into our life, made me feel even more uneasy. Did you two have a fight? No. I nodded. We ate in silence for a few minutes. Just a lot of bad memories. I had no idea how to respond to that, so I didn't. The air was thick, and it was difficult to swallow as we danced around other topics over dinner. After dinner, Brody lay in bed while I brushed my teeth in the master bath with the door open. I'm not going to be flying back with you Sunday night. The station is sending me to Miami after the game.
Oh, yeah? Who are you heading to interview?
Peyton Mara. I finished brushing, pulled off the headband I wore while I washed my face, and was about to flick off the bathroom light when I noticed one of Brody's jerseys hanging on the back of the door. It was a practice jersey, but his name was emblazoned on the back. My fingers brushed over each letter in the dark. E-A-S-T-O-N. I was totally falling for him. There was no way to stop it at this point. I just had to hope that when this fall was over, Brody was there to catch me. Knowing why his head was where it was tonight, I had two choices. I could get into bed, snuggle up next to him, and wonder if he was thinking of her while we drifted off to sleep, or I could chase away those bad memories and leave no room for him to be thinking of anyone but me. If I'm going to fall, I might as well free fall and enjoy the ride down. Stripping off my t-shirt and sweats, as well as my underwear, I slipped the practice jersey over my head. It skimmed down to my ass, barely covering me. Perfect. Brody was staring blankly at the TV, so I walked to the dresser it was mounted above and set down my folded clothes with a bend that revealed my entire bare ass. Fuck, I love that. My name across your back and that perfect round ass. I turned around and tilted my head coyly. Thought you were sleepy. I'd have to be dead to fall asleep with you looking like that. His voice dropped lower. Turn back around. You just want to look at your own name, I teased, but I turned around anyway. The bed creaked as he got up. I'd brand my name across that ass if I could. Crude, but the sentiment made me swoon a bit nonetheless. His footsteps vibrated on the floor as he walked to me. Warm breath tickled my neck when he leaned down and spoke into my ear. Bend over. I want to use you. He rubbed my shoulders. I'm a little drunk, and want to forget anything else exists for a while. Except me, inside you, where everything feels right. You good with that, babe? I swallowed and nodded. It was exactly what I wanted. No room for anything except the two of us. At least for tonight. Willow, Chapter 26 Sunday afternoon. I had just turned off the game when there was a knock on my door so light. I wasn't even sure that it was a knock until the second rap came.
Who is it?
It's me, Abby Little from across the hall.
As I unbolted the double set of locks, it struck me as funny that she felt compelled to use her last name, as if Abby from across the hall wouldn't be enough to identify her, or even just Abby.
Hey there. Can I come in?
I glanced over her head to the shut apartment door behind her.
Sure.
Does your mom know you're here?
She's got company. She told me to come see if you were home.
That didn't sound good. Is one of your aunts or uncles over? I didn't even know if she had any.
No, it's the tired guy.
What tired guy?
The one who makes Mommy tired.
Coming down off a high would do that to you. My apartment was pretty lame. Other than the TV, there wasn't much for a 5-year-old to do. I honestly wasn't even sure what a 5-year-old did do.
Do you have homework? No.
I didn't have a kitchen table, only a single lonely stool that was counter height. I lifted Abby up and sat her on it. Want a snack? She licked her lips and nodded.
God, this kid was so easy to please.
I supposed we appreciated the simple things in life when we were deprived of basics. Having an addict for a mother, those basic things often included food, medical care, and attention of any kind. I pulled a box of Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs from my cabinet and showed Abby. Cereal okay? She nodded fast and gave me a big smile. Every time my mother dumped me at Graham's house, Graham's always cooked up a feast. Up until that moment, I hadn't thought anything of it. I guess I just figured that she was my grandma, grandma's cook. But seeing Abby walk in made me realize for the first time that Marlene had probably known I was hungry, too. There was so much about my grandmother I'd taken for granted. After Abby's belly was full, I washed her bowl and considered the situation. What would Marlene do? She would have asked me what I wanted to do. What do you want to do this afternoon, Abby?
Can we go to the park?
Sure, but we better go tell your mom and get your coat first. The familiar smell of burnt plastic hit me when I opened the door to their apartment. Lena? She didn't answer, but the smell of crack told me what she was doing.
Stay here a minute, okay, Abby?
I left Abby in the kitchen and walked to the bedroom. Lena? I called again. Nothing. I knocked on the door, not realizing it wasn't fully closed. Lena? The impact inched it open. Enough so that I got a look at what was inside. Lena was on her knees, her head bobbing up and down, while the loser crackhead who had been coming around held a fistful of her hair in one hand and a crack pipe to his lips with the other. I froze. And not because seeing a woman giving a blowjob was shocking. Privacy and humility hadn't exactly been rampant in the abandoned houses I'd spent time living in with other junkies. No, I froze because of the crack pipe. I wanted a hit almost as much as I hated this shit. The loser caught me staring and sneered. My watching was doing it for him. He took another long hit from the pipe, fisted Lena's hair harder, and thrust his hips, so she had no choice but to take him deep into her throat as he came. I wanted to vomit. I wanted a hit of that pipe. I needed to get the hell out of there. I grabbed the first small jacket I could find in the closet and rushed Abby toward the door. It could have been her watching that.
We can go?
I was already opening the door to get the hell out of that apartment. Mommy said it's fine. Abby and I took the subway downtown. There was no way I was taking her to a park in our drug-infested neighborhood. That experience wouldn't be good for either of us. I also needed to get far away from temptation. So I took her to a small park I walked by every day, not far from where Grams lived. We spent an hour in the park. I sat on a bench and watched Abby play with a little girl about her age. At one point, she ran over to me and asked if she could take a juice box from the little girl's mother. At least she was smart enough to ask permission before taking things from strangers, even moms in the park. That was a good sign, since God knew who she might be around with her mother falling back into drugs. It was starting to get dark, and both of us clearly weren't ready to go back uptown. So on a whim, even though I'd already visited Marlene earlier today, I decided to take this little toothy, grinning girl to visit my grandmother. We headed toward Broad Hollow Manor together. The nurse stopped me at sign-in. She's not doing that well this evening.
What do you mean? I saw her earlier and she was fine. I don't want to get you nervous. It could be nothing. But she's a little lethargic. More out of it than usual.
Did a doctor see her?
Yes, and we're watching her for any signs of change. This sometimes happens with Alzheimer's patients, you should know. They have good days and bad days. It's difficult at times to know if a bad day is just a normal bad day or something we should be concerned with.
Can I see her?
Of course. I didn't mean to scare you. I just wanted to warn you. She's had a good few weeks, but she does have bad days sometimes. This could just be one of them. We have a call into Brody, but haven't reached him yet, just to keep him apprised.
I think he's away at a game. It stung that they would call to alert Brody, but not think of me. But I deserved it.
Is it okay to bring Abby? She's my friend's daughter, and we were around the corner at the park, so I thought I'd drop in again.
Sure. Marlene was sleeping when we last checked in. But if she wakes up while you're in there, she just might be a little more confused than usual.
I explained to Abby on the walk down the hall that we were going to visit my grandmother, who sometimes got confused, but I didn't want to scare her, so I left it at that. Cautiously, Abby and I entered Marlene's room. I breathed a sigh of relief when I found her sleeping peacefully. She didn't wake up during the hour we sat there, but the nurses came in every 15 minutes and checked her vitals and told us everything was fine. Eventually, Abby started to yawn. It was almost 8 and probably close to her bedtime. So I said goodnight and left my cell phone number at the nursing station, asking them to call me if anything changed. Even though the nurse said they would, I didn't put it past them to clear it with Brody first. After we got back to our apartment building, I tucked Abby in at my place and told her to lock the door so I could go check out what was going on next door. The door to her apartment was unlocked, in this crappy neighborhood. That alone was enough to tell me there was no way I was sending Abby back to sleep there tonight. Inside, I was relieved to find Lena sleeping alone in her bed. There was drug paraphernalia all over the place. On the way out, I grabbed a cell phone that was on the kitchen counter, hoping to find it unlocked and to see if there was anyone who could take Abby until things with her mother turned around. I knew from experience this wasn't going to be a one-night thing. Abby told me her grandmother's name, and I went into the other room to call her. It definitely wasn't the first time the woman had gotten a call about her daughter. There was no shock in her voice at all. Sophie, Abby's grandmother, only lived a few blocks over, so when she agreed to take Abby, I offered to bring Abby by. There was no reason she needed to see her daughter's place the way it was. The chilly November air felt good as I walked back toward my apartment. Sophie lived in a decent building, and she and her husband had invited me in for coffee. I'd stayed until I saw Abby was comfortable at their place. I couldn't stop thinking about how Abby seemed so unaffected by being shuttled all over. Craziness had already become her norm. She just didn't know that her life was crazy. Yet. A few blocks from my house, my phone buzzed in my pocket. A local number was flashing on my screen when I dug it out. Hello? Ms. Garner? Yes? This is Shannon. I'm a nurse at Broad Hollow Manor. I stopped on the street. Is everything okay? We just called an ambulance. Your grandmother's stats are declining. Everything may be fine, but I'm on my way. Delilah. Chapter 27. Whatever fear had taken up residence inside of me was slowly beginning to dissipate. 3 nights of sharing a suite with Brody in sunny Florida had given me back my confidence in us. I still hadn't given up the room that WMBC paid for, not wanting anyone to ask any questions. Although, at this point, it was common knowledge that Brody and I were a couple. Some of my male colleagues who held a grudge because I was promoted over them had taken to making snide remarks whenever I walked in the room, alluding to how women reporters secured their interviews. I hated it, but not enough to stop dating Brody. After the game against Tampa, then locker room interviews Sunday afternoon, Brody and the team got ready to head to the airport while I was meeting Michael Langley to drive down to Miami. The team was loading their bags on the bus outside of the hotel when Michael pulled up in a shiny red Jaguar convertible, the top already down. Brody and I had talked about who I was traveling with, so it wasn't a surprise to him. But that didn't mean he was happy about it by any stretch of the word. He wasn't angry, really. I would say it was more of an alpha-possessive caveman-style jealousy thing he had going on. Strangely enough, I sort of liked it. After stowing his bags under the bus, Brody returned to say goodbye. Michael waved but stood by his car a few feet away, waiting.
Can you take off on Friday?
I think so.
Offensive line is off on Friday. I want to take you upstate. Show you my cabin.
You want to show me your cabin?
Yeah, and my cock. I always want to show you my cock, but I want to show it to you in my cabin Thursday night.
How can I refuse such a tempting offer? I laughed.
You can't.
Brody wrapped one arm tight around my waist and pulled me close.
We'll leave Thursday after you get off work.
Okay. He moved closer, our noses almost touching, but I could see the glint in his eyes.
You know I need to show him that you're mine.
Are you going to lift your leg and pee on me like a fire hydrant?
My sweet girl's into some kinky shit, but I'm game if you are.
I nudged his chest with my elbow.
Seriously, have a safe trip. And tell Fuckwad to keep his eyes and hands on the road, or he'll have me to deal with.
Yes, Tarzan. I playfully rolled my eyes.
Come here, Jane.
Brody's hand squeezed the back of my neck while his mouth devoured mine. I became completely lost in the kiss. The spectacle he was making as he leaned me back in a dramatic dip and kissed me like there was no tomorrow didn't even register with me. Until he lifted us from the dip
and released my mouth, and the entire team who had been watching from the bus began to applaud. I wanted to kill him then, even though he had warned me. Before he loosened his grip, he surprised me by slipping something over my head. It was his jersey. He wasn't kidding about wanting to brand me.
Take good care of her.
He nodded to Michael as he opened my car door. The first few minutes of the ride were uncomfortably quiet. Eventually, Michael spoke.
So, I guess I know why you didn't want to go out with me.
Sorry. I probably should have told you. But when you first asked, we weren't dating yet. And I really was busy, like I said. And then the next time, we still weren't dating when I said yes. But by the time we...
It's okay. You don't have to explain.
He glanced at me, then back to the road.
I'm not gonna lie and say I'm not disappointed, but I won't make things uncomfortable.
My shoulders relaxed a little. Thank you. The 3-hour drive was actually really relaxing. The warm Florida sun beat down on my head while the wind from the open top kept me nice and cool. Between starting my new position a few months ago, meeting Brody, and then worrying about the reappearance of his long-lost ex, I had been really stressed lately. I've never been in a convertible. I love it. Did you rent this car?
No. I actually have a home down here, in Miami. I keep a car at the house.
I didn't realize that. Is it far from the hotel?
20 minutes with traffic.
Oh, I can take a cab from there so you don't have to go out of your way.
I don't mind. But you're welcome to stay at my place instead of the hotel.
My eyes flashed to him.
Relax. I have a guest house. You're welcome to stay there. We don't even have to be in the same building.
Thank you for the offer, but I'll just stay at the hotel. Michael shrugged like it wasn't a big deal. He was so easygoing. Staying in his guest house probably shouldn't have been an issue, yet somehow it felt wrong. The hotel was definitely a better idea. Traffic slowed to a crawl once we hit the Miami Strip, and my phone buzzed in my bag. I dug it out and read the text from Brody.
Brody. Sitting on plane. Delayed. What are you doing?
I decided to screw with him a bit. Delilah. Having margaritas poolside and working on my tan. Good thing I tossed a bathing suit in my bag.
Brody. With Langley?
Delilah. Who else would I be with?
Brody. You're fucking with me, right?
Delilah. Guess you'll find out when you see my tan marks.
Brody. Your ass is going to have my hand marks when I see you.
Delilah. I might like that.
Brody. Are you fucking with me?
Delilah. About the drinks and pool? Yes. The hand marks?
Brody. I'm getting wood on the plane next to a 325-pound linebacker.
Delilah. LOL.
Brody. Just announced we're finally cleared for takeoff. Gotta power off. Wish you were coming home with me. Even after 3 days with you, I miss you as soon as I leave.
My heart swelled a little in my chest. The man quite literally charmed the pants off me, without even trying. I was crazy about him, and finally learning to sit back, relax, and enjoy it. Delilah. Me too. It was after midnight when my phone buzzed again. I had just fallen asleep. Brody's name flashed at me on the screen. I answered, smiling, grogginess in my voice. Hey.
I woke you?
It's okay. I must have just fallen asleep.
I shouldn't have called so late. Sorry. I'll call you in the morning.
The tone of his voice made me sit up. I reached over and turned on the light. What's the matter?
I picked up my messages when we landed. Broad Hollow Manor called. They took Marlene in an ambulance to the hospital.
What happened?
They're not sure. She was a little out of it during the day. Then she took a nap, which isn't like her, and never woke back up. Her vitals started slipping, so they called an ambulance.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Are you heading there now?
Yeah. They took her to St. Luke's. I'm in a cab on my way.
Brody barked orders at the cabbie for the next 5 minutes, telling him not to take certain streets. The stress level in his voice rose as he got closer.
I'm gonna jump out and walk the last few blocks. Traffic is at a standstill on 8th Avenue. At fucking midnight.
He pulled the phone away from his mouth and spoke to the driver. Pull over. Let me out here. I heard the car door shut and muffled words as he exited the cab. I'll get a flight first thing in the morning.
You have interviews to do. Your dipshit boss is already up your ass because of me. Stay. I don't even know what's going on yet.
But
get some sleep. I'll text you when I know more.
Please do.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna run. The hospital is only another block away, and I probably should call Willow and let her know what's going on.
I stayed up for a few hours, hoping to hear from Brody again. But he still hadn't texted before I fell asleep. I hated that I was so far away. I wanted to be there for him. Just sit by his side if he was going to hear bad news, to bring him comfort. And maybe, just maybe, there was a selfish part of me that wanted to make sure no one else was sitting in my seat, offering him that comfort. Willow. Chapter 28. The emergency rooms you see on television are a crock of shit. Doctors and nurses running down the hall with gurneys, one kneeling and performing CPR on a patient as others maneuver towards some big double doors that open on their own. Yeah, right. I looked around the depressing gray room. Almost every seat taken as people waited and waited. Three women dressed in blue uniforms sat behind thick plated glass windows, chatting away and drinking coffee. Two security guards stood at the entrance door. It felt more like a prison waiting room than a hospital. 2 hours had passed with no updates. I walked to the reception window and waited, twisting my necklace nervously. The women continued to ignore me until one eventually looked up at me, annoyed. Can I help you? My grandmother was brought in a few hours ago. Did we call her name? No. We'll call her name when the doctor is done examining her and give you a status update. The woman's eyes stared above me, a nonverbal, next. I went back to my seat and finished picking the nail polish off my nails, then went to the ladies' room. I had been holding it in, not wanting to miss being called, but Mother Nature had grown impatient. When I came back, Brody was at the reception counter speaking to the nurse. I wasn't surprised he'd shown up. The nursing home had told me they'd left him a message.